Hey, what's up? What's up? What's up? Once again, welcome back to another episode of Wonder Why with L Wonder. In this episode, we start a whole new topic. This time, we go start looking at moving forward. What is it like when you're going through stuff? When you've been disappointed? When you lose certain things, whether it's people or just a loss in general? How do you move forward? What do you got to take from that? How do you pick up? You know what? People going through real life stuff. So we go transition into this topic, moving forward. And this, like I said, once again, this is your boy L Wonder. This is Wonder Why with L Wonder featuring Mr. K. And we go talk about moving forward. Part one. Peace. Enjoy. So we got a good one today. And we just go jump right in. Because today what we are going to be talking about is being able to move forward, moving forward. And this is going to be a real good one. It's going to be a challenging conversation, but it's going to be a conversation worth having. It's moving forward. When we're talking about getting over losses, living life after disappointments, and living with regrets. Now, I had a different idea. I had a different mentality to go along with. And, you know, I just wanted to bring that because I liked methodical and I like thought-provoking conversations. And Keith, Mr. K, he said, you know, he talked to me about this. He said, you know, what do you think about these ideas? And, you know, it really stuck out to me and it was really strong because first off, you know, I'm pretty sure we all have been through a lot of these things. We've all been through going through losses. We've all been through disappointments and we've all been through living with regrets. And a lot of people might say that they haven't, because if you ask the average person, they'll be like, no, I don't regret nothing. But I can almost guarantee that we've all been through something in our lifetime that we can just be like, you know, yeah, I regret that. Like, for instance, you know, I regret one of the easier things that we can talk about. I regret not going to school when I was right after high school or not going to school. And the reason why is begin, that's why I guess I push so hard right now to my children, because if I would have went to school, it would have helped me and it would have pushed me more along at an earlier age so that now at 39, I wouldn't be just now trying to play catch up with certain things professionally. But you know, that's the truth. That's the honesty. That's just where I sit with certain things. Oh, what's up, Tasha? Okay, Tasha's back. We starting to get a couple regulars. I like that. What's up, Nanny? I see you. Okay, Nanny here. So at least he know we invited him. At least Nanny know we invited him.
No invite.
He cannot say we ain't invite him. But we just talking about regrets, we talking about disappointments, and we talking about getting over losses. So if there's anything, do you have anything that you could kind of tap into, be like, you know what? And like I kind of started it off a little light. We could really go in real depth with it, but I kind of started off kind of like, you know, I just regret not going to school when I was younger. Any regrets that you might be able to touch bases on that we can talk about on Facebook Live?
Well, for me, I think before I could talk about regrets, I think because when I had said it to you before, it's because at the end of the show, I think I want to say the last 15, 20 minutes of last week's show, we got to talking about something, and I think that it was going in a certain direction, and I just think that it was probably the conversation was a good conversation, but I think that what surrounded the conversation indirectly was these three topics, because a lot of what causes us to become the people that we are, it usually has to do with these three things. You know what I'm saying? How we deal with losses, trying to live with regrets, you know, and moving forward, you know, after disappointments. And that kind of shapes us in the person we, the older we get, that shapes us in the person that we become. And, you know, the thing about regrets are, is that, you know, a lot of us, and I say it a lot of times, like, I don't have no regrets. And to get to the point where you don't have regrets, you have to have had them.
Mm-hmm.
And started to let them go, you know. And the thing about regrets and the combination of regrets as it comes to losing people, or loss, because when I was talking about loss, it's losing, but also losing a person. Sure. Is that regrets and losing a person, if they're tied together, you can never get past it. And you can never, it's hard to move forward if you have regrets about somebody that you lost. So
that makes sense.
When I say I don't have regrets, I may misstate myself, because I do have regrets. I just haven't held on to them. So just like with you, you know, you said you went to school. That's what you did to rebound that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you still regret not doing it,
yeah,
right after school, but you don't feel the same as you did maybe 4 years ago concerning school, because you feel like you didn't done it. You know what I'm saying? So it's double.
That's a huge deal, because that right there starts off the conversation, letting us know where I think most of us need to understand, especially people who really do got a lot of, who really do hold on to certain regrets. I think we need to understand the first thing is regrets are able to, you able to get past regrets, you able to deal with your regrets. So that, I think that that's a huge point of what you just said, was regrets are deal-wittable. I hate to say it like that, but I know I just kind of made up, but regrets are deal-wittable. Like, you can deal with regrets. Just like you said, and I didn't think about it like that. But yeah, it is. It's very, a lot of people have regrets. And when you come talking about losses, especially when you're talking about losing loved ones, just like Nanny just said, Nanny, that was a great point. You said that you didn't finish college because you was dealing with the loss of your mother. And I can understand that, because I stopped, as a matter of fact, 10 years ago, almost to the date, just a couple weeks away from the date, 10 years ago, that's when I started struggling with my bachelor's degree. Because when I lost my sister, you know, when my sister had passed away, it was one of the first times. And even though I love my grandma and I love certain people who I did lose, this was a whole different mentality, because it was somebody who I actually grew up with. And I started stepping into grown-up stage with, and I had a different relationship. And I just talked to her a couple of days before. So that's what was even worse about it, is because I'm looking like this was one of the first realistic situations for me to have lost somebody. So I think losses can actually inhibit, it can change, it can stop your progress. That's why I think it's even more important to be able to deal with it and work with it, because it can't stop your progress. Like, loss got a chance to really just shut the whole show down. Loss can definitely shut the whole show down, which I think is more valuable to even really just talk. So in saying that, I really didn't know how to deal with that loss. I started, I picked up a couple habits during that time. I stopped what I felt like I should have been doing at that time. Like, it really, that's what, losing my sister really changed my life. It really changed my outlook on things. It was just like, I start getting into life isn't fair type mode. Like, should I really be struggling to, or fighting hard to really put, to invest in this life, when I know, because my sister was 20 years old, not even 20, she was 20 years old when she passed away. So I'm looking like, should we really be investing in this lifetime to really, and it, so it hit me, and I'm just being real with you. I'm just telling you how I really felt. I mean, I'm not saying it is good. I'm not telling you it's healthy. I'm just saying that's the real. And I think some of the times we just need to deal with what's real out here and deal with those feelings. He said, right, loss can also become your best comeback. That's true. So
I was thinking when you said that, because I remember when you called me that morning about Vicky. You know what I'm saying? And for people who don't necessarily know the story behind your sister's passing, is that Vicky was not alone. She was with my goddaughter, like mm-hmm. they were together.
Yeah.
And so the news of Vicky passing was accompanied with the loss of Kimberly passing mm-hmm. too. Like, so they passed together. And so that in itself, like, I remember you calling me and like we were gonna go down to the to the morgue mm-hmm. to view the bodies. And you talking about, and I don't know, I don't necessarily know how I how my mother said I didn't do well with it, because, and not from the Vicky side, but from the Kimberly side, like we were on two different sides yeah. of the same
yeah.
coin. And like I had spoke with Kimberly prior to that, and it was, and they were young. And my mother would say that a lot of my interactions with my own daughters, in the way that I was protective over them, and the way that I was with Celeste and Kayla, had to do with Kimberly, with the loss of Kimberly, because she was so young. Mm-hmm. And for people, like I said, for people who don't necessarily know the whole story, like there was back to back devastation of that, because like the previous year, Tammy, her mother died.
And then I was just
in the hospital with Tammy. She hadn't been out of the hospital maybe a couple months. I'm not gonna go into the details about it, but I was in the hospital with her. And like a year after that, Kimberly passed, and like right after that, Charmaine
yep.
passed. And so it was the combination of that and Vicky passed, like it was, you know, it was tough, you know, it was tough, because you start to think about, you always think about when something happens to somebody tragically, you start thinking about how you didn't say something, or you didn't give that last I love you, and you didn't give that last hug. Mm-hmm. And you don't know how to process that, because you don't get them back, especially for somebody you care about.
That's true. And I think that, and I can understand, now I understand even more why you suggested this, especially after reviewing what we talked about last week. Because going off of what we was talking about last week, how we was talking about focusing on the family, how we was talking about enjoying people and enjoying and respecting people and giving everybody their flowers while we're still here and stuff like that, that can lead to certain conversations when it comes to having losses. Like we've all experienced losses. Let's be honest, it's not just losing people, but it's just disappointments. Because I've experienced, I'll be honest, and this is on a smaller scale, but I want to really just bring to the forefront that when we talking about losses, what might be big to me is not necessarily big to other people. So it doesn't necessarily have to be losing a person, but it could be losing something that just something to have value to them.
Right.
Like whether it's for instance, if I'm really, 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 really psyched about this new job that I think that is right for me or the perfect job for me, and I find out that I didn't get the job, or if I really enjoy, and I know that this might be possessional, but if I enjoy a certain, especially during this time, where I bought a house and I like my house and this and that and this and that, and now with COVID happening, it can take away my hourly wage, so now it's costing your house, or anything on that sense, like being disappointed. That's, I think that's when we can go out into the disappointment part, but it kind of throw you back. It makes you feel some type of way. Cause I can be honest, you know, I know that, he said, people don't know what I was supposed to go out with them that night. See, that's what I'm talking about. And it's a lot of times that we don't, just like having this conversation now, me and Keith, we just talked about it and we see that we had two different perspectives on the same situation. And now looking at what Nanny was saying, just like you said, you're supposed to be kicking it with him. Me and Vicky talked about the same exact thing. We was excited because we dealt with something that I never knew we had between us over so many years. At that point, I was married, almost 10 years? So I never knew how she felt about certain things. So we was able to, that's the good thing. We was able to deal with that. And I think that is what helps. So I think there's a value in being able to deal with certain things. And we also got to respect and understand everybody's perspective on the same situation, because it can just be different.
Right. You know, I was also thinking, like, when we're talking about loss, is that a lot of people don't even get over losing relationships.
That's
you
true.
Know what I'm saying? They say that they do, and they move past some things, and you know, maybe they move on to another relationships, but truly people aren't honest when it comes to relationships, especially because they don't want other people to know that they feel like they made a mistake or they dropped the ball. And so if you had a relationship that you felt like that you could have worked harder at, or you probably could have been successful at that, you hold that regret of that loss with you for a long time, especially when you realize it, because a lot of times in relationships, however they end, for whatever reason, there might be somebody that thinks that the grass is always greener, or they're making other options and people start moving forward. But people still are holding on to the fact that this particular relationship didn't work out. And when you start thinking about the way the families are created and what your mindset is years after the fact, and you realize that somebody wasn't as bad as you thought they were, you know what I'm saying? and so people live with feeling like they might have failed in that department, especially because I see it a lot on Facebook, and people are like, oh, you know, you got my ex and this and that. And it's a lot of trolling about people's exes and how, you know, where somebody else might be happy in that situation. Relationships get real, they get real dicey, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to loss and breaking up. And there's people who have had relationships fail, relationship disasters, who deal with it for years and continue to make a lot of bad decisions afterwards because they feel like they're trying to recreate a similar situation.
And that's a huge deal. Like, and you know, it's funny because I'll say this, you know, I can understand exes to an extent. I can understand those things to an extent, because I will say this, my relationship history is not as in depth as it could have been. Probably because before I got married to Sharia, I really wasn't counting nothing before that. Before, you know, it was just what I felt like was kicking it with people, dating, what people would call dating now, but more or less kicking it. I was doing more kicking it. Had a boyfriend, had a girlfriend before, been people boyfriend before. But it didn't really get serious until I really met my wife. So from there, my relationship spectrum really wasn't as detailed, but I did get a glimpse of it once I was separated. And that was a challenge, because I had to really look at, and my aunt Trish said something to me that really made me look at it like, you know, can you really imagine somebody being with the person that you called your wife, being in a house that you built, being in that place that you, in the thing that you set up and established, how would you feel about that? And it was real to me, and it kind of ties into what we saw, what you talking about when it comes to these relationships, because you got to really be honest with yourself. Can you deal with, how do you deal with somebody being in a place with the person that you had before? How do you deal with that? Do you move forward? For me, that time that we were separated and tied into, because that was the time frame that Vicky had passed away, it had to, it made me, it pushed me, it forced me to examine me, who I was. My other uncle, Cornell, he asked me a question. He said, "So Lamar, who are you?" And I said, "That's easy. I'm a child of God. I'm a minister. I do this and that." He said, "But I also am a husband, and I'm a father, and I'm a." He said, "Those are things that you do." He said, "But Lamar, who are you?" And that was one of the most realest questions that I've ever heard, because it challenged me and it checked me to really figure out, who are you? Like, I know you two laughed at me. You talked about me before, that we don't have, that our kids haven't experienced Mr. Heroes until they met you. But that's because, I'm be honest, for me, until me and Sharia separated, I didn't like Mr. Heroes. As long as I've been in Cleveland, I hated Mr. Heroes. And then I can't remember what happened. During that time, I started exploring. And you told me, you like, "Lamar, you got to get out there and date yourself. You got to figure out what type of," and so that's why I say it's certain things that you said to me and certain things other people said to me that really stuck out and really guided my lifestyle, my mentality. Because you said, "Lamar, you got to get out there and date yourself. You might have to go to the movies by yourself." He said, "You said you might have to go, and you like pizza, go try all the pizza spots." And that's something that you said to me specifically. And I remember, look, I had Pizzazz, I had Pizza Bogle. I tried every pizza spot around my location. And it was okay. It was some really, really good pizza, but it was some terrible pizza. But it got me to, that's how I found out I like Mr. Heroes. I love Roman Burgers now. Like, that's how I found out that Roman Burgers is the best, one of the best kept secrets in here, in Cleveland.
Secret. It's only a secret to you, man.
It is, because I never knew that at the time. So I just, like, that's why I say when Nanny said that losses can really it can build you up. Losses can bring you back and give you the best comeback. I agree with that. You know, because what it does, it not just losing people, but losing relationships as well. It's like that new song out. I can't remember what his song is, but it's by, but the guy is telling the girl, "Girl, you better than that. Forget that dude. Go back to school, go to the gym, come back with your better self. Because he ain't worth it. He ain't, you know, just come back to doing what you got to do." So, I mean, just like Nanny, it looked like what Tasha's saying, you know, going back to the movies and stuff like that, and just enjoying it by yourself. You learning what you got to do. That's what separation, that's what being, for the short period of time that I was single, even though I was still married, I'll be honest, legally I was still married, but just for that short period of time that I was outside of my household, and that's what it taught me. It taught me who I am, what I like. I realized I don't like certain things. I realized I like what I didn't like before. So it taught me, Atash, what's that song name? Because I know you know what it's called. Oh, You Got It. That's the song it's called. That song is called You Got It, where it talked about, and I ain't trying to promote people's music because I don't know the dude, but that's what it's talking about. It's like, you know, you got to really get past, I mean, after, I understand you feeling some type of way about the relationship ending, but you get the chance to get to you, to know who you are, to get to know what you like, and the separate, that's what it had to teach me. Not sure about everybody else. What did Nanny say? A loss isn't a loss. It's a misplacement at the time. Okay, I hear that.
But, you know, but also that's something that's compounded on to loss is loss encompasses a whole lot of information. But one thing loss encompasses is the feeling that you wasted time being with somebody. And because when you put a lot of time and energy into a relationship, and you feel like you put a lot of effort into a relationship, and sometimes you feel like you put up with a lot of stupid stuff in a relationship, for that relationship to come to an end, for whatever reason, you know, something unexpected or something wrong or mean or malicious, when a loss happens after you've invested in a relationship, I think that it's devastating. You know what I'm saying? And you can't get that part of your life back. Like if you have expectations, and a lot of times we have expectations about where a relationship should go or where it could go. And then people have kids and people buy property and people do all of these things, and you start moving forward, and for that relationship to go, to not go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? You live with that loss. You live with that regret. You live with, like, what could have been if I had not been dealing with these people. And then you start thinking about all the signs. You start thinking about what people said to you. You start thinking about, you know what I'm saying? And you start seeing it on the movies and on TV. And you start thinking about, man, you know, I really, really blew that. And you can't move forward. You know, sometimes you cannot move forward, like what we're talking about. It's hard to move forward because you like, man, I like put myself into a new age bracket. I didn't put myself into another financial bracket. I didn't put a scarlet letter on myself. Like, all these type of things start to go through your mind. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you even start thinking like, is everybody looking at me? Are people talking about me? And you start having all of these feelings, and you start feeling that regret. She said, "Who told you about my name?" but you start feeling about the regret. You start feeling about the loss. You start feeling like you can't move forward, and all of those things start to combine and just press down on you. And a lot of times it's hard to move forward. You get stuck. You know what I'm saying? And you get stuck. And see what Nanny said, sit back and watch the person. You can see what the person gonna be if you just sit back and watch. Well, you know, the thing is, I would
That's
say
hard. That's hard.
Yeah, the thing really I would say about that is that I think that men process those same situations
totally different.
A way totally different. Because women are emotional, they deal with things emotional. And because men are physical, they deal with it physical. So mm-hmm. what might look like a man is moving on because he deals with things physically, he doesn't necessarily move on. You know what I'm saying? So women think that if a man did something physically past that, that, oh, he's moved on, he's fine, he's moving over it. It's just the man does not necessarily know how to process the same information the same way. And it's men deal with the same heartbreak and the same loss that women do, just women don't think so because men display it different.
But I think that, and it's crazy because I think that's a really good subject to touch on, because I think that when somebody sees somebody else moving on in a certain mentality, what they tend to do is automatically think that, oh, they got it a lot easier. Oh, it's cool for you. You just good. It ain't no problem for you. When in reality, it's just that we deal with it differently. Just like you said, I think, and I've seen this, when a male and a female can break up initially, in most cases, and I'll say that because there's always objections to the game, there's always objections to the rules, but in most cases, females take the time to deal with it emotionally first. And that's where they're wallowing in the reality of the situation. When, just like you said, as males, we don't know how to deal with it. So the first thing we do, we go try to find a replacement. And I hate to say it like that, but we try to figure out, okay, so what's my next move? How am I going to, and we mentally, we try to deal with the way that we deal with our emotions is by dealing with our mental. We don't deal with our emotions first. We deal with what's logical. What's the next step? Okay, let me find somebody else and let me move forward. That hurt thinking about this, so let me go ahead and move forward so I can get out of that. So later on down the line, because the females have dealt with their emotions first, Now they're able to move forward and have a reality check and say, okay, now how can I collect myself? How can I recollect myself? How do I move forward? What do I got to set up? Okay, I still got these babies that I got to take care of. I still got this house note that I got to take care of. I still got A, B, and C. When it's then later on down the line that men start dealing with the emotional after, because I'm gonna be honest, one of the hardest things that I had to realize was when I had somebody come over my house and then they left. And at the end of the night, I'm like, but I'm here by myself. And that was the reality. That's when it really started, like, this ain't no joke, because all of this would sound like fun, would sound like it was going to be cool, would sound like, okay, I can deal with this and get over this and learn how to deal, be good by myself. At the end of the night, I'm sitting here and I'm sitting on the couch watching TV, but I'm sitting on the couch by myself. I'm sitting here laying on the couch by myself. So yeah, I could have had somebody over, whatever the case may be, but now reality is I'm still sitting here. So while I played, I had a mental moment like, okay, I got to get over this. Later on down the line, my emotional start checking me. And it started checking me hard, where just like Tasha was saying, you know, when you look at that investment, because I wasn't looking at that investment at first. It was just like, you know what, L, get yourself together. This is what you got to make sure you do. And I had to just keep it moving first. And then that reality of, okay, but you're still by yourself now. Now the reality is about to hit.
Well, you know, I think that a lot of women do not believe that men can feel empty. You know what I'm saying? Can feel empty without having the completion. Like they feel like they're they deal with things like this, say, oh, well, you know, a guy would do this, a guy would do that. But a lot of relationships that men can have will leave them empty. You know what I'm saying? And where it seems as though, like what you just said, is probably eye-opening to, you know, a lot of people, is that you were in a situation where it looks like this is a good time and we can have a good time. And then I can sit down on my couch or be at my house or lay in my bed and be empty, because that's an emotion that women will associate with themselves, but not necessarily associate with men. You know what I'm saying? That men can be empty too, and that they need to have the completion of having a woman that cares for them too. You know what I'm saying? And so that's eye-opening, I'm sure, because, you know, it's just described different. You know what I'm saying? It described different, and men deal with heartbreak, men deal with loss, men deal with disappointment of relationships, and just because they process it different doesn't mean that they don't feel the same way.
That's true. And so women, if you're listening, if you're watching this thing, we are letting you know that we do got some feelings on some things. Because, you know, we can't show it. We ain't supposed to show it. It's not natural for us to have to tap into or expose our emotions at that point. Just like women, you know, most women now are, even though they go through it and they feel it, they don't expose it, because if they expose how they really feel, it's a sign of weakness. So I think that's one of the things, especially since we're talking about life after disappointments or living with regrets or even just moving forward in general. You got to be able to be real with yourself enough to not care who sees what about you. And that's a lot more difficult than just letting the words flow out, because that means that you have the potential, and that person who hurt your feelings had a potential to see what you're feeling, to see how hurt you are, to see what they caused of you. And we really don't want that. We really don't want the person who hurt our feelings to see how much they hurt our feelings, or the person who did us wrong to really see how much they really did us wrong. Because then what it does, it gives to us who has been hurt, it kind of gives them validation that I allowed you to have more power than you had during our relationship. Now you got power after our relationship.
Right.
I didn't want you to know that you had power during our, now you got power in our, after our relationship. Like, I don't want you to have that.
Right.
If both men and women think they are the best until the next best shows up, that does just a little bit better than the previous person. That's true. That is so true. Rather than going out, moving. Okay, got you. I agree with that.
And you know that I think that it's also important for because I'm speaking from a male perspective, obviously, because I am a man. And that men are always taught to be a certain way, like you said, growing up. You know what I'm saying? You have to be tough, you have to be stronger, you have to be able to deal with some things. And so being able to show, showing weakness is like, it's a strike against you. You know what I'm saying? And just like, you know, you see the little boy and he fall, you know, and he cry. You say, get up, you know what I'm saying? Walk that off, be tough. You know what I'm saying? You can have a little girl the same age and she fall. You'd be like, come here, you know, come here, pumpkin, you know, and you dust her off. Yeah. And so what gets missing is men learn to even though that same little boy skinned his knee and is bleeding, he's supposed to walk off that pain, even though every step he take, he feel that pain. Mm-hmm. And so he learns to process that as he gets older. So every time he feel pain, he's supposed to walk it off. He's supposed to keep moving and still internalize what he feels. And so for a woman, a lot of times she would have to, in order to get through that, she would have to let a man know that he can be vulnerable to her. Like, he can talk about things about himself, you know what I'm saying, and his insecurities and what his weaknesses are. And if you tell me there's a man out here with no weaknesses or insecurity, I would just tell you he's lying. That's like, he has to compensate something for that. So you have men that deal with their relationship through anger, through rage, through abuse, or, you know what I'm saying, or they feel like they have to have a lot of women. They have to have a lot of women. They have to buy things. They have to look a certain way, you know what I'm saying? Because they are trying to compensate for those same things to show themselves as not necessarily being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And like one thing that I was talking to Camille about just recently, is that we were talking about, because she was saying, well, you're not on the boys, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. And then she said to me, well, you should have instituted some of your stepfather's parenting techniques into how you parent. You know what I'm saying? And then at that moment, like, for some people don't know, like, when I was younger, I had a relationship with my stepfather who was the reverend, but our relationship was, outside of him being my stepfather, everything was abusive. You know what I'm saying? Everything was abusive about him. And like I said, that he would deal with some things. He would deal with me like, okay, well, if you get a phone call home, you get beat. You know what I'm saying? Like the alternative to everything was get beat. Like, that was whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, was always, and I explained to her, like, I'm 43 years old, you know what I'm saying? And I still live with that thought process. Like, that's the type of person he was. You know what I'm saying? And I told her, like, growing up, I didn't have a lot of male support or a lot of men to mentor me in a positive way to teach me how to be. And everything that I am or become, my my whole thought process is to be opposite of whatever men were around me that I saw something terrible in. So I told her, like, anytime I feel like I'm going towards being like he was when it deals with my kids, I always reel it back. You know what I'm saying? And if I feel like I need to be crazy or abusive or angry, I know how to walk that away. And I learned how to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? But I had to explain that to her so she could understand the way that I am. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to my family, like, you know, I'm not that type of person when it comes to them. But then the way I'm looked at in the community is I'm a raging lunatic.
But I think you mentioned a lot of stuff, especially when it comes to, it. See, I always tell Amanda, and I started telling people at my job this week. I said, you know, they're coming to me and they're seeing certain things how I'm addressing certain things. And they said, you know, I always tell people, I said, you know, I think I need to go back to school for psychology because I love the way the human brain works and how certain instances triggers other instances. And just like you said, with where Camille might be coming at you, because what I heard from what you were saying is Camille is coming at you saying, talking about some of the teachings that he may have had and what she wants you to apply when it comes to the boys. But what you're hearing is you associate, no matter what part she think is good, anything associated with this guy refers for you back to this mentality. Right. And I can understand that, you know, that's how we work. You know, we associate things in our head. It's not about separating it. Your mother always said to me, and you already know, I don't like seafood and I'm not gonna pretend like I do, but she always, I don't like it. I'm not gonna put it. Okay, thanks, Nanny. It's on like a 15-second, 20-second delay or whatnot. So what we see on what we're doing is playing back onto y'all. So hopefully, just let me know. Is it playing all? I'm seeing it's playing straight now. So 15 seconds later, just let me know if it's playing straight. But what I say that to say this. She always make mention when you eat fish, eat the meat and throw away the bones. And as much as I don't like seafood, I always try to keep that in play when it comes to whatever situation I'm in. Eat the meat and throw away the bones. Take what's necessary, what's bad. And it's hard. That's a hard lesson, I'm telling you. But you know, some of the stuff that your mom would say to us, especially when it comes to ministry, especially when it comes to teaching, especially when it comes to just life in general, it's challenging. But it ain't about that. She's straight, no chaser. It's like nothing filtered, nothing. Now, it's not about your feelings always, but it's about, okay, you know what to do. And just like you said, you know, when you think about the relationship that you've had in knowing what your stepdad did, that's only thing, no matter what good stuff he did, you only know about that. And I was like that for a long time, especially with my stepmother. You know, I felt the same way until just recently where I had to remember, oh yeah, but remember that time that, you know, she went to jail because the dude down the street came at you with a garden hoe and he bust your head because of this such and such.
That sounded like a wild night.
He couldn't fight. The dude couldn't fight. So when we threw hands, he didn't like the fact that I fought him, I beat him up with hands. So he had the garden hoe and hit me in the back of the head with the garden hoe and split my head. And when she came down, because the police officers was cool with the parents, she went to jail. And through all the stuff where I'm like, man, my stepmother acting like this, my stepmother doing that, I didn't remember the time that my stepmother made sure that she stood up for me during that time. So the same person who I felt screwed me over or turned my dad again and all this other stuff was the same person who was willing to stand up for me and go to jail for me. The same person who did all of this bad stuff to me was the same person who made sure that when it came to school that I was, even when I was whatever age, 13, 14, 15, that I couldn't even match my clothes, that she made sure she had a conversation that showed me how, okay, when I was ironing so much that I burned my pants because I wanted the creases in my pants so bad, she was able to walk through. So what
after, and I'm talking about just like a couple months ago, what it has to teach me is the same people who are going through, I mean, who can do you terrible can be the same people who can look out for you and hold you down. And that's kind of what the message of what your mother was trying to say with eating fish, take the meat and throw away the bones. And it's hard to realize that, because when somebody hurt our feelings or when somebody do us wrong, we automatically think you're a terrible person. But can it be reality that the same person who's a terrible person in some sense can bring back some positive and some good stuff to you, and with the same heart? I think that's crazy.
But you know, but the thing is here's the flip side of that. Come here, Skunk. Bring it to me. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Oh, no, it's all good. It's all good.
Because she get this squeaky toys. If y'all hear this, it's because my dog, this is her.
I didn't ask because I just know my best friend and his wife, so I didn't know what was going on. I just heard something squeak. I'm like, he got the background, so everything is cool. We can't see no back. What's going on in the background?
I might have to take it from her. She gonna bring it back. Okay. She played with it like she liked to squeak it. Stop, skunk. I'm gonna hide it real quick. I give it to her in a minute. But also, I think that the flip side of that is to what you just said is that to a person, what can you be looked at that way is also can be reality with another person. So in other words, even though, see, if a person knows that they hurt you, you know what I'm saying, and they know that they offended you and they know that they damaged you, even if that wasn't their intention, okay, because they know that they did that, they need to still be able to acknowledge, not be so egotistical to say, it's not what I did. My intentions were right, even though it hurt you. Like sometimes we have to be like, we have to be willing to help somebody heal rather than keep moving forward and saying, well, I felt like I did the right thing. You just took it wrong. You know what I'm saying? That type of, that we can't be on the side of that arrogance, feeling like we damaged somebody and feel like, well, it's cool because I meant it okay. Like, but, you know what I'm saying? It's like, so it should be okay because I meant it in a different way. You took it wrong. And people don't feel like it's not okay for you to make sure somebody can heal, that somebody is not living with damage that you caused, rather than make it seem like they got damaged because, and it's their fault. You know what I'm saying? It's their fault that they got damaged, that you damaged them. And sometimes we sit on the other side of that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Even if the person you were talking about was the one that protects you, but they still damaged you, it's still the person that has to come to you and say, you know what? Yeah, I damaged you. I was wrong, because too much emphasis is always put on the person to forgive. The emphasis in life is always put more on the person to forgive people, yes, than the person who was the offender to That's come true. Back to make things okay. So we're always told, I should be able to treat you any type of way I want to treat you, and you're supposed to forgive me, and you're supposed to move on. At the same time, we'll damage you in the process, and you learn to get over it. And it's your job for you to learn to get over it without me saying, hey, I'm part of the problem.
Okay, and you know what? I think that's a challenging part to play, because that means, it means that you have to be cognizant of the situation that you're in and really check yourself. It's kind of like what Nanny was saying, tied into what Tasha was saying. Nanny was saying, with all loss, trust God over everything, pray daily, and thank often. That sounds like the perfect solution. But the reality is, in the situation, how many of us really think about that? And I think we need to be realistic with it, because I think that's where, I think where, and I, you know how I am, just like I always said, aw, ain't that cute?
She's looking for her toy.
I know, I see. I see.
Right, like, I got it, so she over here looking for it.
She like, I know you got it. But the reality of the situation is we want to, and that's where it kind of, and my kids always say, Dad, you always throwing the Bible in there. And I'm not trying to be like that, but at the same time, what I found, and this is just me personally, I found that biblically, when no matter what I'm going through, there is something that helps me to deal with what I'm dealing with. And there's certain things in here, just like it says, it's a two-edged sword. It cuts going and it's coming. So one of the things that I thought about when you were saying that was Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, the way is the way of death. The way that seems right, but leads to death. And it tells us that we think we're doing the right thing. We think we got what's right on our mind. We feel like, just like, I guarantee, if you looked at, if you ask, if you was to able to talk and deal with that with your stepdad, I guarantee he'll tell you, he'll justify why what he was doing was right. I guarantee you, having conversations with my stepmom, she will justify and explain why what she said and what she did was right. As much as I believe the same thing when it comes to us as parents, the same thing when it comes to people, I can almost guarantee it's very, very few. And that's why Disney can change the landscape of things, because Disney portrays these villains as terrible people who always want to do terrible things to the world. When in reality, if we look at our villains in our lifetime, in our current lifestyle or our current situations, they're not trying to be bad people. Nobody's out here really with the mentality of, I'm just going to screw this person over. I'm just going to be a terrible person to this person. Most of these people are out here feeling like, I'm just doing what I got to do to make sure the situation is good. Even when it comes to management. And I had to learn that myself. Like, this person who is over me, they're just trying to make sure that things is tight. They're just trying to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to, that this job is complete, that this job is taken care of. Not necessarily that they just coming in, but in my head, oh, they just coming in here. They just trying to be a-holes. They just trying to screw me over. They just trying to play me. They just trying to not counting that they're just trying that. Okay, I didn't count into effect. What part are they trying to play that's going to be beneficial to what I'm trying to do? Even if it ain't got nothing to do with me and it's just about a job, or in this sense, even if it ain't got nothing to do with me, you know, I felt like I said, I felt like I got some punishments and whoopings and all the other stuff. That if I really talked to somebody today, that my parents would probably be in jail because of some of the stuff that they did to me. But at the same time, now I realize, especially having conversations with my dad, was that's what he felt he needed to do to make sure he maintained a balance within the household.
And it's, you know, yeah, and you know what? And another thing is that people have to understand is that if you've been damaged in your life, if you've been hurting your life, it has to be by somebody you cared about or you love.
That's true.
And you can't be hurt or damaged by somebody that you don't love, care about. Because if you consider somebody to be out of that circle, you just kind of walk it off. Like, you know, I'm out here. This is not, is, you know, I don't care about what you're talking about. I don't care what you did, because I don't feel any type of way about you. So that means that the damage that comes and the things that hurt you and the things that cause you pain and regret are usually coming from somebody you cared about, somebody that you love. And so because those are the ones that you're most vulnerable from, and those are the ones that you're supposed to feel deeply about. And a lot of times it's more difficult it's difficult to understand why somebody that you care about is also going to be the same person that's willing to hurt you and damage you. And so that in turn ties all these things together, is that that we have to be part of the process, and how we are felt and seen and loved and cared about. Those are the people that should be handled with the most care. And I think that, that in itself is something that people need to learn to grow from.
So. I agree. So it's getting down to the last couple minutes of our show. So obviously we go take this into next week's show. I'm trying to come up with a good concept because me and you had a conversation earlier this week. And we talked about the value of having the show be an hour. And I really think that that's dope. I think that it's good to have the show be an hour. But somebody reached out to me earlier and was like, why don't y'all extend it for an extra half an hour or something like that? So to keep a balance, what I'm trying to do is I want to come up with a concept that we can have a Wonder Why Plus where it's separate. Because I'm not going to change what the show does. I'm not going to change how long the time is for the show. Because I think understanding business, understanding shows, understanding different themes and stuff like that, we understand it. It's always good to end it at a certain time frame, keep it a certain time frame so people can want to come back. It's like, and we go announce the winner of American Idol after this break. It's a type deal. So, but I want to make sure we have that, be able to come back. But I got some concepts and some ideas that I want to run past you with the Wonder Why Plus. Well, even if it ain't us doing it, where we can just open up the chat box so people can talk about some stuff, open up some stuff so we can have a good conversation afterwards for the people who do want to tap in later on and keep the conversation going. But we are definitely going to keep this moving forward. This is just the part one. And sometimes I believe that part two gives us time to recollect our thoughts and then come back on a whole different level. So part two is always better than part one in this instant. Let everybody log into the video.
Well, if you do that, Danny, then you would have to go 2 hours.
Yeah, we ain't gonna never be able to have conversation. Trust me. Look, I want to show my camera. But Danny, we're gonna have to, maybe you can be over talk. Maybe I can talk to you and you can do the Wonder Why after hours thing so you can lead some. But you know, this is good conversation. I'm gonna talk to you a little bit later on this week, Nanny. Well, actually, yeah, sometime this week about seeing what we can do, because I do believe that we about to start a whole different type of movement. We about to start a whole different mentality. And I think we exposing a lot of conversation. That's what makes it so good. Only thing about it is, as much as y'all like what we doing, what I don't wanna do, I don't wanna tire people out. You know, I know after a while, my voice, that's why I make sure I have something going on.
What is that?
What is Smurfberry juice? This is Smurfberry. This is my Smurfberry juice. I gotta keep my throat moist. I gotta keep it going. So we can keep on having the show. But anyway, I do appreciate the fact that you said I'll be dressed. I hope so, because then okay, he go have his fruit in hand. But I do want to appreciate everybody. For tapping in. Like I said, we're going to continue this conversation next week. Any last thoughts from you, Mr. K?
It's okay. It's okay to love people. It's okay to love people. It's okay to love people. It's okay to trust people. And some people love you more than you think that they do.
Good. That's really good. And I will say this as a final thought on this topic moving forward. The reason why moving forward is a little bit challenging is because in order for you to move forward, there has to be something that's kind of almost stunting where you're going through. They're almost so certain it's something that's stunting your progress. I think the information is there. I think the way that we break down is there. I think we have to be, the problem is sometimes we just tired. And we don't want to deal with the hard stuff. We don't want to deal with the crucial conversations. We don't want to deal with the challenging stuff. Anything that challenges what we're used to or what we really want. I think the first step moving forward, just like with dealing with my sister's passing, and we can talk about Sharia passing next week. We can talk about my brother passing, or we can talk about all of those different things. We can talk about grandparents passing. We can talk about our parents passing. So, but the thing about it is, we got to be able to deal with that. And it's nervous and it's hard to deal with certain stuff. You just got to know yourself what's best. I mean, you got to know yourself best. That way you can be able to deal with it. And just like I agree with you, I'm not casting out what you said for Nanny. But I do think we have to have a relationship with somebody, something that's bigger than us. You know, and I call him God. I call his name Jesus. But I, you know, that's just me and my personal feelings. But we have to be in tune with something that's bigger than us, because if not, we can't really, just like it talks about, we too finite to understand the infinite. So in saying all of that, we are doing what's best for us. We are trying to figure this out. Just keep on progressing. Just keep on trying to move forward. We got to learn how to deal with the heartaches. We got to be able to learn how to deal with the disappointments, the losses, and the regrets, because that's what's ultimately going to keep us moving forward. Until next week. And until next week. Until next week. I will definitely see y'all later. And I do, like I said, I appreciate you. I appreciate what you bring to the table. I appreciate all the comments. This is about to be real loud. I do appreciate everything that y'all been doing. And I look forward to next week, where we will continue the conversation with moving forward. Until next week, L, this is Mr. L. This is L Wonder. And with Mr. Keith, with Mr. Fagan, Mr. K, and we out. We'll see y'all next week.